Welcome to the podcast of the Geological Society. My name's Sarah Day, and I'm joined by our president, David Chilston, who is giving our first London lecture of the year, Lucy, the Geology and Engineering of a Mud Volcano Disaster in Java. David, I think probably a lot of people don't know what a mud volcano is. I certainly hadn't heard of one before I heard of Lucy, and perhaps you could give us a brief overview.
Yes, certainly. Mud volcanoes occur worldwide. They're where there's high pressure water, often with gas, at deep in the ground surface, and that pressure breaks through to the ground surface, and as it does so, the water coming to the surface picks up mud and sand from the shallow surface, bringing it to the surface and erupting. So it is like an igneous lava volcano, in as much as material comes to the surface from depth, but in this case, it's high pressure driven mud.
So, on the surface, what would this look like? Because it sounds like we have images of sort of mud spars oozing slowly out of the ground, but it sounds quite dramatic.
Well, there are various sizes and shapes. Some of the mud volcanoes are very explosive. They carry a lot of gas, though some in Azerbaijan, near the Caspian Sea, are like that. Others are much, much quieter and slower, and the mud comes out much slower and produces a much smaller mud edifice, as we might call it. There are some in Colombia that are like that. And in those sorts of small mud volcanoes, often with a low rate of eruption, they can be quite steeply conical. But where there's a large rate of a mud eruption, they're often flatter. And they can be very small to very big.
And perhaps this is a good time to ask you a question that we've had via Twitter during your lecture. You can ask David questions at any point using the GSL lecture hashtag. And it's, what are the causes of a mud volcano? Are they the same as the causes of regular volcanoes? In other words, plate tectonics?
No, they're completely different. In as much as regular volcanoes, should we say igneous volcanoes, where hot molten lava comes out, is a result of the rock being heated at great depth in the earth and working its way to the surface. And this happens in well-defined zones in the Earth's crust where tectonic plates meet, like the side of the Andes, for example. Now, a mud volcano, as I said, is where there's high pressure water in the ground and that comes to the surface. It's interesting to think about where those high pressure zones are. And they're often, interestingly, in areas of high tectonic stress. So if you plot a map of where mud volcanoes occur, they often occur in these highly stressed areas, which is a similar place to where normal, as Sarah's called them, regular volcanoes come. And indeed, near Lucy in Java, there are a series of regular igneous volcanoes as well. But the origin and the processes are completely different.
So on a map, you might be tricked into thinking the causes are the same if the distributions look fairly similar.
The distributions are similar, but the causes are very, very different.
Yeah. So we're talking about regular volcanoes as if there's one type which is more common, but are they actually much rarer than igneous volcanoes?
There are certainly a large number of mud volcanoes worldwide, and there are very large ones, as I said, in Azerbaijan. There are ones running all the way from the Caspian right through into Europe, along the Himalayan and the Alpine fold belts, right down into Java on the Himalayan fold belt, and on the side of the Pacific as well. So there are quite a lot there. There are also, interestingly, mud volcanoes in big deltas. So off in the Niger Delta and the Amazon Delta, there are mud volcanoes. And this isn't a tectonically active area, but it's an area where the rate of sedimentation is very, very quick. And high pressures build up at depth in the ground and burst through in the same kind of way.
And you've been talking about your involvement with one particular mud volcano, which is the Lucy mud volcano in Java. What's so special about that one? Why is it the one that we've all heard of, if we've heard of any?
Well, why I'm working on it is because the company I work for has a client who's interested in knowing what Lucy is doing. Why is Lucy special? There's an argument of what caused Lucy. One possibility is that it's the result of an earthquake occurring a few hundreds of kilometres away, rupturing the ground, making a pathway for water to get to the surface in the way I've described. Another possibility is that it's a problem with a drilling well, with a gas drilling well. So that's quite interesting, that it's quite likely, according to one school of thought, that it's a man-made induced mud volcano. But the other interesting thing is that the mud volcano is continuously erupting and has been doing so since 2006. Normal natural mud volcanoes of the sort I've described are very episodic, But Lucy erupted continuously, and in the early years, at about 100,000 cubic metres per day of mud came out of Lucy. So Lucy's behaviour is different from that of a more normal mud volcano.
And it's still erupting now?
It is still erupting now. And about, well, the last time we have some data, which was last year, was about 10,000 cubic metres per day.
Which still seems like quite a lot.
It's still quite a lot of mud, yes.
Have we got any idea of what's driving that continuous eruption, if it's so unusual?
What's driving it is a layer, water and probably gas at great depth, round about 3,000 metres below the ground surface, is a limestone which contains high pressure water and gas in some places as well. And this is pressurising the ground, and there's a driving mechanism. It's also the source of the water. So the water works its way to the ground surface through cracks, it passes through layers of mud, picks up the mud, and it erupts at the ground surface as sloppy, steaming, chemically smelly mud.
And this is happening in presumably quite a high populated area. What are the sort of impacts that people who are living there are seeing?
Yes, Java is a very intensely populated area, not only the enormous cities there, but Lucy has erupted in this area called Siduajo. And Siduajo is a mixture of towns and dense agriculture and rural settlements. So the impact has been enormous. The mud that's been erupting over these years since 2006 now covers an area of 6 square kilometres, 3 kilometres by 2, roughly speaking. And depending on which source of information and who you talk to and what you believe, somewhere around about 30,000 people have been made homeless. On the internet, there are people talking about 50,000 people being made homeless. So it's a major social impact, as well as destroying this area of the order of 6 square kilometres.
And presumably this huge volume of mud has to go somewhere, or is it just changing the landscape?
Well, most of it is sitting, I'm sorry to interrupt you, most of it is sitting at Lucy itself, because the local authorities, the government authority, have built a large series of earth banks around the vent to contain it. So these banks are tens of metres high and they contain the mud. But some of the mud is being pumped into a nearby river to get rid of it. But the bulk of it, the large proportion of it, is being contained by these earth banks.
In a sort of mud reservoir.
Like a mud reservoir, exactly like a mud reservoir, yes.
And long term, is there anything that they can do about this, or is there anything useful that could be put to...
Well, I'm not sure what you could use the mud for, but... You could certainly, in the longer term, when the mud volcano ceases to erupt, and estimates are that it will run for another 10 or 20 years perhaps, that's a statistically thought about estimate, but say 10 or 20 years. Once that happens, then you'll be left with, as Sarah put it, a mud reservoir with earth banks all the way around. So what do you do with that? Well, it would be nice to vegetate it in some way. The mud is chemically not very nice, so I can't imagine you'd use it for agriculture. And what I think one of the big hazards that is going to be faced is how to handle the runoff. So it'll be continually raining, of course, in the rainy season, and Java's quite a wet place, it's a very lush place. So there's a lot of water landing on that 6 square kilometres. Where's that going to go? It's going to go into the rivers and the drainage channels, and unless it's treated and handled, you'll be adding chemically enriched... You could even say toxic, chemically enriched mud and water, muddy water, into the rivers. And that will have to be handled. So I think the longer-term treatment of the Lucy mud volcano effects are much as what you would do in the Western world when you rehabilitate an old mine, dealing with the mine spoil heaps. It's the same kind of problem.
And you're interested in this as principally as an engineer.
Well, I'm an engineering geologist, and so my job is to try and understand the geology and express our answers in engineering terms so that engineers can understand. And we were asked by a company to evaluate the ongoing effects of the Lucy eruption. And they've asked us to monitor Lucy, and we go back about once a year, but we also use satellite imagery because they're very keen that we should be able to step back and look at the broader effects of Lucy. So we've been using radar imagery to work out how the ground has been moving. And that's proved quite effective. So we know quite a bit about how the ground surface is moving, which is why we can talk about some of the surface effects, and those surface effects would affect engineering structures, which is where the engineering geologist comes in. I'm not a pressure specialist. We have pressure specialists in our team who are talking about how long Lucy might erupt.
You touched a little bit on other mud volcanoes because Lucy's not the only one. Is there any situation that could arise nearer to home for us?
Ah, well, in the UK, we have something that isn't quite a mud volcano, but it's a mud spring.
That sounds much nicer.
It's much better. It's British. It's very very sedate and discreet. It's at the Royal Wootton Bassett in Wiltshire. And this is really an artesian spring. So high pressure, not high pressure, but pressurised water at depth. The water is at sufficient pressure to make its way just to the ground surface. An artesian spring. We have them all over the UK. Nothing unusual about that. Except that this particular artesian spring works its way through a layer of mudstone, a Jurassic mudstone. And in doing so, it has softened the mudstone and it picks up, it entrains some of the mud. So there are very small little mounds of mud gloop up to the surface. It's a site of special scientific interest. It's been investigated by the Geological Survey and academics. And it's particularly important, not so much because it's a small mud spring, but because it brings some very interesting fossils to the surface, beautifully preserved fossils. So it's our own little version, but the process is the same. Water pressure at depth that's sufficient to drive water to the ground surface and pick up mud on the way.
So the British version is slightly more sedate.
It's more sedate and it's fenced off. I don't think you can actually go there without permission, but you can read about it on the internet and you can see the SSSI citation from English Nature's website.
And perhaps just finally, has anyone estimated how much longer we can expect Lucy to continue erupting?
There are many estimates that have been made, but the estimates that seem to be most reliable are the ones that say it's going to run for perhaps another 10 or 15 years. When it first erupted, Lucy was erupting 170, 150,000 cubic metres a day. After about a year, it had dropped to 100 or 110. That was in 2006, 2007. We're now in 2014, nearly, and it's dropped down to 10,000 or slightly less. So if you were to plot a graph, you can see it's tailing off. How long that tail will be is difficult to say. But Professor Davies and Professor Swarbrick, who we've been working with, have estimated that it was going to run for about 30 years, 20 to 30 years initially, and we've consumed about 10 of those years.
So whatever the cause, it's a long
It's going to run for a while, but at much lower rates, much lower rates.
Well, it's a fascinating subject, which I've not really heard much about before, and thanks very much for coming to talk to us about it.
Not at all.
You can view David's lecture, which has been filmed, on our website at www.geolsoc.org.uk/mudvolcano and follow along the rest of the London lectures online.